Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson just read from Luke chapter 2. If you would like to follow along with the written notes this morning, you can find those at the bottom of page 3 in your bulletin. There's something about a song. A song sticks in your mind. Still remember when our daughters were growing up, they would say, "I've got this song stuck in my head." And that's the way it often works with songs. Songs often bring back memories of where you were and when you were there. Songs often create warm feelings of nostalgia and well-being. Retailers know this. Not so much this time of the year because they're playing Christmas carols, but at other times of the year, if you pay attention in many stores or restaurants, you will hear music that those of us of a certain age grew up with. That's all designed to bring back those warm memories and probably to open up our pocketbooks a bit. A song can also be a memory jog. And that's what those who designed those musical jingles are trying to do. They're trying to connect a musical phrase with their company name or product. Maybe you have a few of those going in your head right now as I mention it. Of course, God knew this. Maybe he invented it. So this morning, as we begin a new church year and begin the season of Advent, we also begin a sermon series titled Songs of the Savior. Each week we will look at a different song from the Gospel of Luke. By the way, these songs are one good reason why there's more than one gospel, because Luke is the only gospel writer that has recorded these songs for us. This morning's song is known by its Latin title, the Nunc Dimittis. It is the song an old and devout Jew by the name of Simeon spoke or sang as he held baby Jesus. Those of us who grew up in the Lutheran Church likely associate it with the part in the liturgy right after receiving Holy Communion. The old version begins, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." For some of you, that brings back a lot of memories. For others of you, it's, well, what's that? And that's okay. As we look at the context of this song, the Bible story from Luke chapter 2, I want you to compare that which was visible with that which was revealed. Mary and Joseph have come to the temple at this particular time for a very specific purpose, actually two specific purposes. One was that for Mary, the time of her purification, 40 days after giving birth, was over, and she was coming to the temple so that she would be considered ceremonially clean. But they were also there, Mary and Joseph, as devout Jewish parents, to redeem their firstborn male son by offering a sacrifice. That's why they were at the temple that day, and there would have been many other people there that day as well, doing similar things at the temple in Jerusalem. Simeon, an old and devout Jew, about whom we know very little other than what we have right here in Luke chapter 2, was guided by the Holy Spirit, and he had trusted in God's promise for decades that God was going to send a Savior, a Messiah. Now old and hunched over, he was in the temple courts, and he was guided by God, the Holy Spirit, to come up to Mary and Joseph as they had baby Jesus with them. Imagine his thoughts. His mind racing with the possibilities, this could be the one. his heart about to burst with anticipation that God's promise had been fulfilled. Amid the hustle and bustle of the temple courts in Jerusalem that day, he was led to see Jesus. What was visible was really no big deal. New parents with a baby and an old man hunched over with age. But what was revealed was extraordinary. Simeon knew he was holding the very Son of God, the child of promise, fulfilled before his very eyes. And so he uttered his song, the Nunc Dimittis. The ordinary had been transformed into the extraordinary. Well, now I'd like you to do the same with us in worship. Do the same. Compare the visible with what is revealed. To be honest, the visible is pretty unimpressive. Some words, some prayers, some songs, every now and again a splash of water, a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. It's easy for us to stop right there, and maybe for those who are not familiar with what we do to stop right there too and say, well, so what? What's really going on that's important anyway? But God leads us to see what is revealed. In many ways similar to what he did with aged Simeon. To see that he comes to us through his word spoken, sung, proclaimed. That in that splash of water connected to God's word, God is bringing about the miracle of faith and new life. That in with and under that bit of bread and that little bit of wine, Jesus gives us his body and blood to forgive our sins and to assure us that he walks with us in our faith journey. There was a lot more going on in the temple courts that day when Mary, Joseph, and Jesus came. And there's a lot more going on here this morning than what first meets the eye. You know, sometimes before worship, people will come up to me and say, Pastor, is there anything special happening today? And I don't always, but many times I answer by saying, yes, God's word and sacrament. Indeed, special gifts from our God. And like Simeon, we too can depart in peace. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, is an interesting word because it doesn't mean so much just the idea of peace as the absence of fighting or of war. It's more along the lines of wholeness or fulfillment. The idea that we are in a right relationship with God and that we are with God and God is with us. That sense of completeness and wholeness. That's what Jesus came to bring. That's what we are preparing our hearts to celebrate as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus again this year. That Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, has come. Shalom to restore the relationship broken by our sin. For that's why Jesus came, to restore that relationship by winning forgiveness for us and giving that forgiveness freely to us. Jesus came as that Prince of Shalom. And God continues to be about that work of restoring his kingdom and extending his kingdom to the very ends of the earth. How impactful it is that the most common way we end our worship service is with the words of the Aaronic benediction, spoken over God's people for over 3,000 years, including being spoken over God's people who gathered in those old times in the courts of the temple in Jerusalem. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, and remember the last words, and give you peace. Shalom. God's people go forth with that peace, that shalom that only God can provide. Because of Jesus Christ, you are at peace with God. You are being restored to the image of God, and you are invited to be a part of God's work of spreading that peace, that shalom, that knowledge of sins forgiven because Jesus came to be our Savior. A kingdom that is based not on power, but on shalom. And so the question for us, and also for us to share, is this: do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Those not in the know will not see that what we are doing is important. Amidst the hustle and bustle of the season, they'll find plenty of other things to do instead of being here in God's house. Just like I'm sure many people missed out entirely on what God was up to when Simeon approached Mary and Joseph and Jesus long ago. What do you see? And how can you help others to see what God is up to? That God is at work in amazing ways to bring us forgiveness and shalom. See Jesus. See Jesus and know shalom. No peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.